Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
So great to have you with us. My name's Gareth, just myself with the campus pastors here. And great to have you with us this morning, a full house. For those of you wondering why we do two services, this is why. It gets crazy uncomfortable if we are pretty full. And so welcome to church this morning. I thought it'd be great to start off really this service and also to head into 2021 to hear from some guys at our campus. And so would you welcome to the stage Astrid, Mike, and where is he? Marty, would you give him a round of applause? Come on up. Grab your seats. Astrid's the rose between the thorns. Claim it. The cactus between the thorns. Cactus. Hey, before we go on, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves? We'll start with Mike. Tell us a bit about what you do and maybe for work. And why don't you tell us what you enjoy doing in your spare time?
My wife, Donna, and I have been coming to this church for about 10 years now. And I work as a project officer with the Public Transport Authority. What I like doing? I love gardening. I'm a gardener. Both Donna and I are avid gardeners, and we've got a sizable block, so we've got plenty of garden to garden.
Does it excite you seeing a new sprout? Excite you?
It does.
You're a sicko.
It does.
That's outrageous. That's outrageous, Mike. Well, we're a good partnership because I kill a lot of things that I touch, so you can revive them all. So I've got your number on speed dial. Astrid.
I am Astrid. I am a high school teacher, so I teach the kids that catch the trains. And in my spare time, I actually design knitwear. So I've got like a business and I design clothes that are knitted. It's really cool.
Awesome. Fantastic. Next up.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Marty, or Martin. I work for the Salvation Army. I do case management with the homeless people in Perth. So we have a facility where we can house up to 113 homeless people, and yeah, I look after 15 residents, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Come on, that's so great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And my spare time, I just like fishing, camping, spending time with friends and family.
Awesome, fantastic.
Yeah.
You're a cuddly bear, Marty. You've got like that demeanor that would beat me up, but deep down, it's good to take you around with me just to walk around the street, so I feel tough when I'm with you.
Thanks.
Hey, we'll stay with you, Marty. What have you been praising God for this year?
So many things, but I was thinking about that on the way here, and I think just living in Perth, Australia, we're just so fortunate to be where we are. Like, I have family back home and they're quarantining, they're doing it tough, there's people with COVID everywhere, and I'm just very fortunate and blessed to live where we live, so I'm very grateful for that. Yeah.
Marty, tell us a little bit about your story and your testimony.
So I come originally from Chile, South America, and when I first came to Australia I knew like no English. I could count to 10, say please and thank you, if that. And it was difficult. It was very difficult. I went to a high school where it was very different from where I came from. And I used to get teased, bullied, picked on, all those sort of things because I looked and sounded differently. So it was very difficult to adjust and feel like and have a sense of belonging. So fast forward a few years and I fell into drugs. I was looking for to connectivity and feeling that I belonged somewhere. So I couldn't speak English, but I could partake with certain things, and yeah, it was horrible. I was stuck in addiction for about 10 to 12 years, and in those 12 years, I saw everything that you don't want to see. Best friend died from overdoses, one choked in his own vomit, the other one didn't wake up. And so that led me to, I don't want to live that way no more. But I didn't know how to stop. It was frightening, and in those 12 years, I denounced God. God don't exist. What kind of God would make people go through these sort of things? But then, yeah, I realized you've been there all along. You know, like all those voices that they were like, or feelings that, hey, don't go there. Now I realize, oh, this Holy Spirit telling me, Marty, don't go there, dude. And then this is where I started believing in God again. I was somewhere where I shouldn't be, surrounded by people I shouldn't be with. And it was like a voice that someone was, like if Astrid was whispering in my ear, and it was like, Marty, get up and leave. And I was like, who said that? Where did that come from? Because it wasn't me. And straight away I got up, left, and then when I got in the car I realised I was God telling me, man, I've got you. And since then he just quarterbacked and took over my life in a way. I didn't research anything. I went to a Christian rehab where I was reconnected with my faith, but I still didn't feel like I belonged. I still didn't feel part of. I was still looking for that void. Okay, I wasn't taking drugs, but I was training, going to the gym, boxing, jiu-jitsu, like you wouldn't believe, and I still felt empty. Fast forward a few more years, long story short, I come to Nations. And it was just by my beautiful friend Dale sitting over there. She started with us doing a little bit of boxing and ended up with me getting baptized. So since then, my life has changed. I don't feel like I have that void in me no more. And coming to Nations, I mean this wholeheartedly, just meeting people like Astrid and Mike and Gareth, Jess and everyone, is just, I feel like I'm home. Shout out to my Connect group. And the youth team have just been amazing. Like, I feel part of, I come in here and I'm home.
So good, yeah, fantastic. From boxing to baptism. I'll title that one day in a sermon. Astrid, why don't you share about what God's done your year?
It's actually really funny. I was thinking on the drive, what am I going to share? And pretty much a different take on the same thing. So I had a very different upbringing. I grew up in a Christian home. I had Christian parents, went to a Christian school. I had a lot of really rough things happen as well, but a lot of really good things. And I'm really grateful for my upbringing in a lot of ways. And I had always been a part of church. When I was 15, life wasn't good. And I stopped going to church basically and was just like, yeah, God's not real. He ain't there. And I was consumed with this absolute feeling of like, I'm not good enough. I did not mean to get emotional. So to kind of give a bit more context, my parents divorced and my mum left my dad, thank God. And I always say they're happily divorced. They were not happily married. And I look like my dad, like put my dad in this dress and it's me. Really scary sight, but you know, that works. And I was convinced that mum would leave me too because I look like my dad. And it just took a long time to figure out that it's not me and it was something completely different. And so, sorry.
It's all right, you're with family.
That was really unintended. Going deep today, guys. So I just consumed this absolute self-hatred. And my life, by 15, I was suicidal, I was cutting, didn't want to be around. And yeah, just really empty. I started just trying to search for anything that would give me meaning and I found nothing. I started going back to church. I actually worked in the community and I was a teacher in a small town and I just missed the community feel. I mean, kids growing up in church, you guys get it. Like you talk to the 3-year-old that runs past you and then you talk to the nana that says hello and then you talk to your mum's friend and then you've got to get your mum in the car because she's still talking to her friends and, you know, just me? No? Okay. So, you know, like you grow up and you learn how to communicate and you learn how to be a part of something and I was missing that. So I came back to church so selfishly because I wanted people. And I was at a church and I stepped up into the people's team, actually. And I felt really uncomfortable there for a lot of reasons. And I think it was God just being like, this is a stepping stone church and it was good to get your feet wet, but this isn't your home and you're not home. And I was actually moving house. I was moving from Belmont to Northbridge and I was like, oh, you know, like, I'm just gonna find somewhere else. I'm not home here. I'm gonna find somewhere else. And I'd heard about Nations. Funnily enough, a lot of our youth actually came here from that other church. And I was like, oh, you know, they keep stealing our kids. Maybe I should check it out. So, thanks, Kate. So I walked in and I had a list of about 10 things that I needed to prove. 10 things. And I was like, look, man, like, God, where are we at? I need all this stuff to prove that I'm good and that we're good. And I came in, I sat at the back and I had a face like, touch me and you die, which is weird, I know, but I was not keen on people. And Meegs and Pete were like, she's new. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, don't talk to me. And they gave me a welcome bag and I was just like, thanks. Like, not keen. And I just slowly started feeling more and more part of it. And I mean, Nations Church is a home. It's not just a church, it literally is a home. And more and more, I just felt more comfortable, but I was so resistant to stepping up to anything because I was like, no, I've been burnt before. I'm not keen. I don't belong. You know, part of me will never belong. And I was just convinced of this. And so many people kept saying to me, like, you're on people team. Like, you're just a people person. And I was like, nah, I just like people. It's different. I remember one time Arjun literally grabbed me by my shoulders and moved me to a new person and was like, go. And I was like, oh, okay. And so... Yeah, welcome, hello. So I kind of figured out that maybe I should be on people's team. And I remember Tat was going off people's team because she was coming up onto here with her amazing voice. And she texted me and was like, you should do it. And this is after several other people had as well. And, you know, deep shower thought time. And I was like talking to God and I was like, nah, man, nah, this isn't happening. Remember last time. I'm not keen on this again. Remember last time. And God was just so clear. And he was like, why do you have to decide you're ready? Because I've already decided it for you. And I was like, I remember I texted you and I was like, fine, I'll do it. It was like the saltiest text. Like I was not keen at all. I was like, fine. Yeah. And since then I pretty much walked on and it's just been so natural and so comfortable. And the team have surrounded me and more than just the team, the church. So what I'm thankful to God for is that I now have a sense of belonging. And more than that, this year has been so much of a journey of figuring out who I am. There's been a lot of other struggles this year. And figuring out my place in my world and figuring out why I do my life has been massive because God has done my life for me and I'm just walking in his walks, so.
Awesome. Great. Mikey, the green thumb, why don't you share about what you're thankful for this year and maybe some of your journey as well?
Yeah, well, I was born into a semi-Christian home. Yeah, well, I was brought up in church, dragged along like every church kid, and it wasn't until I was in my teens that the Lord revealed himself to me and in a way which I couldn't ignore or deny. Gave my heart to the Lord when I was 16 and started my journey, and it was a pretty tumultuous journey. But one thing I discovered when I was in my late teens was a real passion for God. And the Lord put me in places where I got good teaching and good influence to seek God, to pray and spend time with him every day. And that cultivated that desire for God and that desire to be used in ministry. And throughout my 20s, I was involved in all sorts of ministry of different kinds. But there was always this deep fear. And I was always worried about other people's opinions of me and I don't know where I'm going with this. Anyway, I'll just keep talking. I went to Bible college when I was in my early 30s and God really dealt with me a lot then. But I had a lot to learn about the Father's heart. And while I had a passion for God, I didn't realize how much he had a passion for me. And so I went through a lot of down times. And fast forwarding, I guess, to this year, I went through an extremely dark time where I was struggling with a lot of internal dissatisfaction, disappointment, and feeling very much like at my age, I was born in the 60s, so yeah, I'm not as young. I'm probably the same age as these two put together. I felt that I'd missed my time, that, you know, I was now at the age where I'd missed the boat and, you know, get used to it. You're just going to be an onlooker watching other people rise and God use them. And the Lord had other ideas, and thankfully, and I give a lot of thanks to Gareth and Jess and a lot of other people in the church who just love me and showed that acceptance for me as I was. I'm a painfully shy introvert at my worst, but God started to shine his light in my life again and came to the realization God hasn't barely started with me yet. And he's given me a real passion for men's ministry. I've had that for a long time, but this year I've just seen that burgeoning into life. I've seen it come to life and grow to a point where I've got a vibrant men's group. We connect every week and we have real good spiritual ministry, times of just passionately praying and supporting one another and opening up our hearts to each other. And it's been so good to see men come into this group. We've seen one salvation this year. We've seen guys who have come from nowhere to being prominent and vibrant and growing in their faith and love for God. And the best part, the cream on the cake, was I've been in a job for over 10 years where it had reached a point where I was working in a place that was quite toxic, and the atmosphere, the management, everything was suffocating, and I struggled with that. I started crying out to God for another position, another job in the same organization, just not where I was. And long story short, God has given me a new job. So I started in the end of November, and it's a great team I'm with now and a different atmosphere completely. And so God has been good. But bottom line of everything that I wanted to say was that never believe that your time has passed. That you are past your use-by date, so to speak. You know, God is the God of the second, the third, and the fifth, and the 100th, and the 5,000th, and the 10 millionth chance. God wants to revitalize and rejuvenate your faith and your walk with Him. And it doesn't matter whether you're 8, 18, or 80. God has got a plan for your life, and He can take you to places higher than you would ever believe. So don't give up on God, and don't give up on your own dreams, what God's put in your heart, because they're there for a reason. God planted them there. There is seed waiting to be watered and waiting to spring into life and bear fruit.
Awesome. Give God a round of applause. Give these guys a massive round of applause. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Let's just pray and give thanks to God for what we've heard as well. Father, we thank you. You're a good God. You're a merciful God. You are faithful time and time and time and time again. Holy Spirit, help us to hear your voice, to listen to what you're saying, to allow ourselves to be ministered by you this morning. We're so thankful for everything you've done in our lives, for not just what you've done in the past, not just what you're doing right now, but also what you're doing in the future. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, I got about 10 minutes or so with you guys, so I wanna speak to you really quickly and share some of God's word with you this morning. I'm gonna speak to you on this thought, praise Him anyway. Praise Him anyway. You know, it's funny, because whenever we're in a relationship, it's two ways. Two-way relationship. If you were in a one-way relationship, it would be a monologue. You may as well just like read a book or just kind of scribe something into your iPhone. But a great relationship is two ways. It's someone communicating. It's someone speaking. It's someone listening. It's communication back both ways. And sometimes in our journey or in our faith, it can seem like in seasons when maybe they're going well, maybe they're going bad, but it can seem like sometimes in seasons, it's a one-way stream. It doesn't happen deliberately, but it feels like sometimes we can just, you know, by osmosis, maybe just receive and receive and receive, and we're thankful to God when things are going great. And you know, sometimes we get down when things aren't going great. And sometimes it feels like we can be silent in our response, or we can be silent in our praise. And so we take for granted sometimes the things that God is doing in our lives. I'm aware in a year like this year in 2020, which has had so many challenges, so many curveballs, so many things thrown at us, that it can be easy to have our voice silence. When we speak about testimonies, we're actually speaking about praise. Because testimonies, by its definition, in and of itself, isn't about our own strength. It's a declaration in our lives about God, about His mercies. That's why Paul said, hey, I don't really want to speak about myself that much, but if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about God. If I'm going to boast, I'm going to tell you why I'm weak and why I'm strong, not because it's in my own strength, but because it's a reflection of Jesus Christ. All throughout the Bible, we see God's people come and give Him thanks, come and give Him praise, regardless of what they're going through, regardless of the season to come, they would come into His courts with thanksgiving and with praise. In fact, Psalm 136 was a descriptive psalm. It was a psalm of response. So the high priest would come and read, thank God, He deserves your thanks. And the people would say, His love never quits. He would then say, the high priest, thank the Lord of all lords. And the people's response would be, His love never quits. Other translations or other versions say, His mercies endure forever. It was a response from a people to a high priest in a temple court. They would come with everything they had. And in a time and a season where they were doing that, they were actually doing it over a Passover lamb that was being slain. See, God's people were remembering the time that He brought them out of Egypt when the Passover lamb was slain and put over their doorposts. So as they were doing this, they would remind themselves of what God has done in the past for them. It can be easy to be forgetful of what God has done in the past for us. Because by human nature, we want what's next, right? We want the next thing. We want the next season. We want to see God do something new and something fresh. And God, what's to come next? We can so easily forget all the things that He saved us from. We can so easily forget the many trials and battles that we just take for granted. But how many times do we look back and realize that, man, maybe, like Marty said, maybe it was God's voice that whole time. Maybe it was God's guiding hand that whole time, teaching us, showing us which way to go. But we were designed to be people of response. And my response to God isn't a reflection of how good I am. It's not a reflection of how bad I am, but my response to God is a declaration of His faithfulness. It's a declaration of His goodness. It's a declaration of His mercies, His kindness, His peace, His truth. And so the lie of the enemy is that there is no power in your response. But let me tell you, that could not be further from the truth. There is a power in your response. There is a power in your response of thankfulness. And so my question is, at the end of a hectic year, at the end of 2020, what's your response been? What's your response been? Because listen, I don't neglect, or I'm not naive enough to think that 2020 for so many people has been so hard. It's been tough. But what's been your language around it? Has it been, oh, listen, man, how am I doing? Yeah, well, it's been really hard and kind of, you know, it's been tough and full stop. Or has it been an acknowledgement? Yeah, you know what? It's been hard. You ask me how I'm going, listen, it's been tough. It's been a heck of a year, but great is His faithfulness. You know, man, it's just things haven't gone the way I planned, but for His grace, I'm still standing. And you know, I had a totally different idea of what this year would look like, but it was Jesus who saved me and kept me standing all this time. Sometimes I think one of the reasons we're not thankful is because we just feel like, man, I'm just entitled to this journey. I'm just entitled to God's goodness. It's like, man, I take it for granted because wasn't this what I was meant to receive all along? God, I'm thankful for your goodness, but isn't this what I was entitled to? And let me tell you, you're never really grateful for what you feel entitled to, because we feel entitled to God's goodness. We feel entitled to His grace. We feel like, man, I deserve this. I work for it. Where nothing can be further from the truth. Because here's the really hard pill to swallow this morning, Nations Belmont. We deserve death. Like Paul says, because of our sins, our reward should have been death. That's what we deserved. That's what we were entitled to. But thank goodness for Jesus, because He said, I'm not giving you that. You know what you deserve? You deserve life. You deserve life in abundance, in its fullest. You deserve mercy and grace and hope. Entitlement will breed ingratitude in our lives. Thankfulness is a weapon that cuts down negativity, comparison, pride, self-indulgence. And if you can find a position in your life of thankfulness, you'll find a peace that won't be shaken by what's going on externally. And if 2020 has taught me absolutely anything, it's that praising God is not dependent on my circumstance. Praising God isn't dependent on the season or the situation I'm in. Jump into the Word of God, New Testament, Acts chapter 16. A couple of guys called Paul and Silas, you may have heard the story before. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. As Mike was speaking before, don't you love a God-given vision, a God-given dream, a God-given desire when God clearly speaks to you, tells you what the next step is, tells you what to do, gives you a plan and purpose, and it is great, it is fantastic, you're energized, you're good to go. And then Acts 16, verse 20, 23, I like to call it the 2020. This happens. They brought them to the magistrates and they said, these men being Jews have caused trouble to our city. They teach customs which are not lawful to us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Crazy, horrendous, wild, vision, dream, purpose, only to then find themselves in jail. And you know the person that I feel for in this story? It's not Paul, because Paul was kind of the instigator. He was preaching and they found trouble against them because of his preaching. But I feel sorry for Silas. I mean, the guy did nothing. He was just on the journey. You know, why don't you come with me to this great night? We're going to have coffee and cake. And all of a sudden it turns out to be this kind of, I don't know, missions night. And it's like, oh, you know, go to China. It'll be fantastic. It'll be beautiful. You'll get to meet exotic and amazing people and you'll get to preach the word of God. Next thing you know, they're underground. It's hot. It's sweaty. They're under a threat of persecution for their life. It's like crazy. Like, you signed me up for this. And Silas is there and they're both thrown in prison. And I can understand if Silas would have been pretty mad, pretty angry. I can understand if Silas would have probably wanted to beat Paul up himself. But they're in this prison and they're in this situation. There's no denying where they are. But what each and every one of them and each and every one of us know to be true is that we own and we determine our own response in those prison seasons. I'm not here to say they don't happen. I'm not here to say they aren't dark. I'm not here to say those seasons in life sometimes are really tough, really scary. But we all own our own response to that prison season. So about later on, it says about midnight, which is significant in and of itself. Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. That's important. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, everyone's chains were loose, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, about to kill himself. Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." So then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your entire household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. Wild story. The story doesn't just affect Paul and Silas, but it affects a prison guard and his whole family. The story doesn't just affect Paul and Silas and a prison guard and his whole family, but it affects the multitudes of prisoners that were there. Because we're actually told that the prisoners were the ones listening to Paul and Silas in worship, praising. We're told the prisoners were the ones that the guard was worried about. Have they escaped? Not just you two, but have the prisoners all around escaped? He was scared for his life. What are they going to do with me? And Paul and Silas come to him. All those prisoners, we don't know how many, but we know others were affected by their testimony. We know others were affected by their praise. And if the story of Paul and Silas teaches me anything, it's that often in the darkest seasons of our lives, it's so crazy how praise often precedes breakthrough, isn't it? Praise often precedes breakthrough. And if there's three things I'd love you to take down this morning before I finish up, it's that your praise is not dependent on having the resource that you think you need. See, having money does not disqualify you from praising. I mean, if it did, we think about Mother Teresa on the streets of Calcutta. She didn't have much resource. We think about John G. Lake and the crusades that he had. He didn't have mass followers giving to him. We think about the late Billy Graham. He wouldn't have been fired up to have that first crusade. He had no resource. All of them continued on. All of them continued standing, continued praising God regardless of the season that they're in. And the story of Paul and Silas tells me this, that if you're willing to praise when you got nothing, you're likely to praise when you got everything. And if you're willing to praise in a prison, you're likely to praise when you've been pardoned. Because that's what the story was for Paul and for Silas. Your praise is not dependent on having the resource you think you need. Number two, your praising is not dependent on where you want to be. I don't think Paul and Silas wanted to be there. I don't think when Paul was speaking about, "I've got a vision and a dream and God's calling us to preach the gospel," I don't think that's the kind of place he thought he would be. I don't know where your 2020 has been and gone. Maybe you've gone through it. Maybe you're going through it. I don't know. Maybe in a place where it's health, finances, relationships, workplace, studies. I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't know what even in this place you feel like you're behind bars for. I don't know what it feels like you're in shackles for. Maybe it's something that you have absolutely nothing to do with. Maybe you can sympathize with Silas because it feels like I had nothing to do with how I got here. But they praised him anyways. They praised him anyway. And I get it. I know that sometimes in seasons of our life where we rock up and we're like, "Man, God, I don't even know if I can get the words out in this season. I don't even know if I could fill in a praise report. What do I have to be thankful for in this season, in this mess?" Listen, Paul and Silas knew, hey, we're alive. Hey, we're breathing. Hey, we'll give God thanks because if he gave us a promise, he's a faithful God and he won't give up on his nature. He won't give up on himself. That's not who our God is. So they chose to praise him anyway. Number three, your praise isn't dependent on a platform. It's not dependent on a platform. You think Paul and Silas had some sweet live stream set up? "Hey guys, listen, wherever you are around the globe, we're just tuning in right now and you're here with us at whatever prison this is. It's fantastic. The lighting behind me looks amazing. And if I could just keep the keys up for a little bit longer, if you could bow your heads and close your eyes wherever you are over the globe, that would be fantastic right now. Just stretch your hands to the screen." No. It wasn't some 1-800 number to call to give finances to them. They were in a place, they had no platform. They find themselves in this prison. "God, this isn't where I thought I'd be. God, you told me that I had ministry on my heart, that I was gonna be a preacher. Well, you told me I'd be in the worship team. I'd be on kids. I would be doing this ministry and that ministry. God, didn't you give me that dream and that passion? But God, where is the platform now?" And a lot of the time, I feel like God's answer is, "How faithful are you in the prison?" It's easy to be faithful when you're out of it. It's real hard to be faithful and diligent when you're going through that tough season that the prisoners saw and the guards saw and the families saw. And two people's praise, two people's testimonies affected a lot more people than just themselves. You see, isn't that what praise and testimony does? Number one, it recalibrates your soul. It forces you to look again. No wonder David said, "Soul, listen up. bless the Lord, O my soul. I know things aren't going that well right now, but would you bless him anyway? And would you forget not his benefits? Soul, listen up. Bless the Lord. Understand that he is good. Understand that his mercies endure forever. Soul, bless the Lord. It calibrates your praise, your testimony. It uplifts those around you. You're hearing testimonies like those guys on stage just then. It tells yourself, hey, I might be going through that season right now, but if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. And hearing that, wow, God's been so faithful to them. Maybe he can do it for me. Wow, I see that they've been on that journey for so many years, and here I am. Maybe I'm a week in. Maybe it's going to happen, but maybe I just got to be faithful and keep walking it out, keep stepping it out. Your testimony, your praise, it inspires, it encourages other people around you. If I could put, Lukey, some of the praise up on the screen for a second and some testimonies. These are just some ones that we've had come through our church recently in a crazy year of 2020. Because my dad had a growth in his bladder and the doctors thought was mostly cancer. After praying in a biopsy, we have found no cancer. We're praising God for that. A journey ahead, but we're praying and believing again for the best outcome. That's just one testimony. Testimony two, I've been praying for a new job for the last 6 months. Put out a prayer card in the last 2 weeks and I received a new job this week. Thanks for praying with me. Praise God, my husband's going back to church after many months of absence. We got another one. We gave a 5-figure sum to building our future in August this year. It was a stretch that we believed that God was asking us to do it in faith. Since giving through an assortment of completely unexpected sources, the Lord has returned to us double. All praise, glory, and honor to him for his faithfulness. You know, we have testimony after testimony after testimony. We believe we have somewhere in the vicinity this year as a WA campuses in the vicinity of over 700 praise reports across our church for the faithfulness of God this year. Let me tell you, God's not done. God's not done. He's still working. And I don't know what you're in right now, what you feel like this is an impossible situation, but all I'm here to do to finish your 2020 is to encourage you. Stay the course. Keep standing. God is a faithful God. Let's be a church who have a response to God of praise. The power, I've said it before, the power could go out. There could be no band. That's no excuse not to praise God. I've seen people in this very building go through the most crazy and hectic of seasons. And I've stood there and watched them stretch their hands out, tears going down their face. Why has that inspired me? Because I know if the season that they're in, they're still choosing to keep their focus. How dare I, in the mundane of life, choose to say, oh, you know what, God? I'm just going to sit this one out. When someone's going through such a dramatic change in their lifestyle and their hands are lifted. Because why? There's power in praise. There's power in keeping our focus on Jesus. There's power in it. So as 2020 draws to a close, you know, don't let your praise die in the prison. Choose to have a response. Choose to have a conviction in your heart that whatever I'm going through, I'm going to praise. Choose to fill out that praise report. Even if it feels like it's insignificant, even if it feels like it's not much, choose to share your faith journey with someone in your life. I want to be a person who has said of me, hey, whatever Gaz has got going on in his life, we understand, we get. But isn't it great that he praises him anyways? Isn't it great that he's still thankful to God anyways? I want for 2021, Nations Church Belmont to be a but for church. But for church. Listen, times might be tough, but for the grace of God. You know, I might be going for something right now, but for his mercy. Man, but for his truth. But for the fact that he's got me in his hands. But for the fact that he's a saving grace. He's a stronghold. He's an ever-present help in time when I'm in trouble. But for the grace of God, we choose to praise him anyways.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.